Replay, reflect, believe. More of God's Word for walking in faith every day of the week.
We pray that you are inspired to read the scripture further and to continue attending your local church. When in Philadelphia, you're welcome to join us for worship at Open Door Baptist Church, 1632 North 26th Street, zip code 19121, Sundays at 11 a.m. Now it's time to enjoy today's message.
Now let us pray, O God of our salvation, we pray that you restore us again and put away your annoyance with us. Father God, will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Or will you not revive us again that we might rejoice in you? Show us your faithful love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Speak peace to us, and don't let us return to our foolish ways. Amen. Keep your salvation near as we honor you and allow your glory to dwell in our midst. We turn this service into your hands, O Lord. Do as you intended to do. We love you and praise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, for our text this morning, please turn with me to the scripture that we'll find in the New Testament in 1 Peter, the first chapter. I'm going to read for you verses 3 through 5. Amen. So that's in the New Testament. 1 Peter will be in the first chapter and verses 3 through 5. Reading in the English Standard Version, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you." Verse 5, "who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. And for our subject and for our theme this morning, I'd like to speak to you about the truth that we find regarding our salvation in verse 4, which is that it is never fading. Amen? Amen. The Apostle Peter reminds us, he said, this thing is unfading. And you know, as believers in Jesus Christ, we can often remember the moment when we got saved. Amen. Some folks even remember, you may run into people, they know the exact hour, they know the exact day. Some of them even know what the title of the sermon was that was being preached. Amen. Others, you know, like myself, I don't necessarily remember in those specific details. Don't remember with words, but instead I remember the power of the experience that I had with the Holy Spirit. The gospel message had come and drew me to accept something that I had never known before. When the preacher spoke on the gospel message and salvation available through Jesus Christ, it moved in my heart. Amen?
Amen.
Never had come so strongly before, and so I recognized it to be from Father God. Amen. And this is so wonderful about our gatherings. Amen. This is so much wonderful about the worship gathering, because it presents an opportunity for all who would come through those doors, that they might have that type of encounter, that type of experience with God. Amen. And we gather in the hope that the Lord God himself might visit us in this physical space. Amen. We want him to come into this physical space. This is what we call the church. But more importantly, we need him to come into this inward space, which is the very depth of our soul. Amen. We need God's presence. Praise God. When it happens, when that encounter, that type of encounter comes, we leave rejoicing, and we will tell everybody that we ran into. We tell them, this is how we say it. We say, look, we had church today.
Amen.
Amen. When we tell them, that Sunday, we'll tell them the choir really sang.
Well,
they really sang that Sunday. Amen. If the Spirit came, we might even tell them, Pastor really preached that day.
Amen.
We may even get there. What we're doing is we're boldly proclaiming what took place on that morning because of the encounter, the experience that we had with God during the service. Amen. And sometimes I tell you, and we all know we had a good week last week. We had an awesome Women's Day. And anytime something like that happens, we turn around. We're like, we got to roll that back. We got to do that again. Amen. We need that same encounter to come over us. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. Amen. And that's just something about our human nature. Right. It's just natural. Our memories don't only fade from decade to decade, but our memories seem to fade from week to week, from Monday through Saturday and so on. And so what we believe sometimes in the church is that if we can just come back, if we can get in these doors, if we can sing certain songs, if we can say certain prayers.
Yes.
And we can perform certain actions. Sometimes we believe if we can do it like we used to do it, then we can have church like we used to have it. And whether that was a week ago or 20 years ago, sometimes we believe that if we do the same things, if we can roll it back. And that's because our memories are fading. And what the Apostle Peter is getting to in this text is that also for some of us, our experience with God seems or appears to be fading. And it may be because we haven't been to church for a while. Maybe that's why there's actually a national Back to Church Sunday. But we've got to look at this. While we might be under the impression that the gathering of the body of Christ is subject to fading, the Apostle Peter comes this morning to say that it doesn't have to be that way. In fact, he's teaching us in the scripture today, saying that this is what we have gained from Christ. What we have gained is an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Amen. Peter is proclaiming that we have gained salvation that is unfading. It is never fading. Amen. He's inviting us to understand that the gift that we've received from heaven can be seen in every decade and every generation. There's been no depreciation in the value of salvation. What I'm saying is that the salvation that you have maybe gained 20, 30, 40 years ago, the first day of your salvation, God has kept it for you. He has secured its value, and it is never fading. Our human nature is different, right? It's a natural way of thinking. That's why if we can recreate the experience, then maybe we can recreate the encounter. But it requires a spiritual shift, a shift in the way that we think so that we're thinking spiritually. And that's where we're Holy Spirit led. Amen.
Amen.
And then we go from trying to shine up the service, the worship service, like it's an old pair of shoes. Instead of trying to shine it up, we allow the Holy Spirit to have its way for what he intended to do today. Amen. Glory to God. We're not trying to construct a worship service from a memory that we have that we're afraid might be lost in time. But instead, the Holy Spirit comes on the very right now moment with an encounter that will never fade, that will never go away. Listen, this is the encounter. We got to understand this. This is the encounter that makes us proclaim, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's the same encounter that we had then that we can bring with us every time we walk through this aisle. Amen. It's the unfading, never fading encounter that stays in our belly. We don't even need to know the program that day. We don't need to know who's singing. We may not even need to know who's preaching. We're not making decisions on whether we'll be in worship based on if we can recreate that experience. But we bring with us the unfading, never fading gift of salvation that remains and abides in us through the Holy Spirit. And instead of coming to see what might happen, we bring the encounter of God with us in the belly of our spirit. He never left us. Glory to his name. That's what Peter is telling us this morning. It never left us. It never perished. It never expired. It never faded. Peter is trying to encourage us to see that, to understand the value of what God has done for us in the way of our salvation. He calls it a living hope. Glory to his name. When we look at this scripture from the beginning, verse 1, he's just introducing himself. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. But then he says, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These are elect exiles, Gentiles and Jews. They're not residing in the promised land, but they carry with them the citizenship of heaven. What I'm saying is that God put the seal on their passport. Amen? Verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. Glory to his name. Peter is explaining to us in a small way. He's explaining this this theology of election to know that it's not that we are without free will. Amen. You have free will to choose your relationship with Jesus Christ. But instead, listen, we serve and believe in a God who knows all things. He's in and out of time. Amen. And because God has foreknowledge, God already knew the choice that you would make. Amen.
Amen.
That's why you're called the elect. Amen. And Peter recognize that he's coming, and he wants them to know he's speaking to them in this way. He says he's not sanctified of his own power, but of the Holy Spirit. Peter is speaking from the calling that he has under Jesus Christ. Peter speaks in the power of the Holy Spirit and with the authority and the instruction that has been given to him. And so he says this, and this is a blessing for us. He says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Amen. Peter is reminding us that the gospel message he carries comes with grace and peace. And if you receive it, if you receive the gospel message, grace and peace will be multiplied in our midst. Amen. I said to you to pray for the one that would come to the left and the right of you who would need to look at that name tag to know who you are. Glory to God. How is that going to come? It comes through the gospel message, amen, and through grace, which can only come from God, amen. That is how the multiplication becomes seen in our midst.
Yeah.
Amen. That's God's math. Amen. Peter is saying that when you invite your neighbor to church, the power of grace and peace goes with it.
Yes.
Amen. So when you hand out that tract, we say, I have something for you. You give it to them with grace and peace. Listen, you're not beating them over the head with the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
And if they don't receive you, you're not snatching that tract back. Well, it's not for you. You have no heaven or hell to put them in, but we give it to them. Amen. We extend the grace and the mercy that God has given to us. Glory to his name, with the hope that they might receive him the way we receive him. Come on, Peter. He's probably introduced himself. And so now he gets to verse 3 and he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. He's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. Listen. It's according to his great mercy, God has caused us to be born again. All right. Listen, you had nothing to do with your natural birth. Amen. And in some regards, neither did your mother or father.
Amen.
All right. It is only from the grace of God and him causing the miracle of conception to occur in the womb.
Yes.
We take it for granted sometimes. Amen. Why? Because God's fruitful. So we go out, we see babies popping up everywhere. Amen. But just ask Sarah. Just ask Hannah. Amen. Glory to God. God has to come in the midst, even with your natural birth, with the miracle of conception. So just as he was in the midst then, God is also the cause of our spiritual rebirth.
Yes.
Amen. It's because of his great mercy. You didn't get saved without great mercy.
Amen.
Amen. You might have said what you said. You might have repeated what they asked you to repeat. But unless great mercy came upon your heart, glory to God, hallelujah, God was the cause.
Yes.
This time not coming from the fleshly seed conceived in the womb, but gained from the resurrection of Jesus Christ and our faith to believe. Amen. Verse 4, he says, this is what happened. We received an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. I need you to know this morning, this truly is forever. Amen. Imperishable. It's not expiring. Your salvation is not expiring. Listen, it's not like a coupon. Because you didn't use it, it's going to expire. All right? Come on, some of you know we get ready to go to the restaurant and we remember that we had a coupon for 50% off, and now we're searching all around the house because we know we've got this coupon. Glory to the name. We finally find it at the bottom of a drawer, but then we pull it out only to find out that it expired last week. But that's not your salvation. It doesn't expire. Peter says it's imperishable. Amen. It's undefiled. I need you to know this, that your salvation is not worth less because of something that you did before you got saved. Amen. Your salvation is not worth less because you was running and gunning.
Amen.
Amen. And you looking at somebody else and you say, well, I know they didn't do all that I did. Amen. We heard some testimonies yesterday. Yeah, they were like, okay, yeah, you got a different ministry. You went a different route. Amen. But looking at it, no. It is not anything less or worth less. It's not defiled. Once you were born again, you become undefiled before God. You've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You are undefiled. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Amen. Peter just came to remind us that this morning. And that next thing he says that we're drawing on from is unfading. Praise God, never fading. Your salvation, it always looks fresh.
Yeah.
Amen. always looks new, never dusty, never affected by earthly time. It never fades. And this is what I like. He adds to it to make sure we know it's kept in heaven for you. Amen. And what Peter's letting us know is that like a safe deposit box in a bank, God has secured and designated your salvation for you with your name on it. Amen. That's your account. Amen. And it's secure. Ain't nobody breaking in. Ain't nobody breaking in and getting back, getting over on God. Amen. Amen. The worship service. So great. Such an opportunity where we can come together into the house of the Lord, unified to lift up his name and worship him. And many of us, it was in a worship service in this type of setting that we may have received God, and we may spend many years in salvation focused on recreating that same worship environment, the one that resembles the one where we got saved. Amen? Because sometimes folks move. They were in this city, now they're in this city, and so now they're looking to find a church which is just like the one that they grew up in, the one where they got saved. That may not be what God has for them. We might go from church to church seeking yet another encounter with Jesus. But the Apostle Peter is reminding us that the glory of our salvation never faded. Never faded. Praise God. Once we were born again, revival is not what we do. It's not something that we can bring about through a performance of works. But revival is when we tap into what is already in us, which has been done by the inward work of the Holy Spirit that abides in us, that's never faded. Revival is when we tap into what's already in us. Amen. Glory to his name. May not be on a pew. Might be on a sidewalk. Might be on a break, a lunch break at work. Might be on a morning devotion on a bus. Amen? Revival is always available to us. And listen, yes, there is a sound of worship that is pleasing to God and that is also pleasing to the saints. Yes, there is a sound of preaching that is pleasing to God and that brings us to rejoicing. But what I'm saying today, and what I believe the Apostle Peter is writing to us in this letter, is that it is a sound that has never left us. Glory to his name. It never faded. We may have found it in this setting. We may have found it in the congregation of the saints. But it never left us. Revival is always available. Glory to his name. Let me get to verse 5. I'm saying there, he says, and he's trying to wrap it up for us. He says, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. And I know why Peter's bringing this to us, because he's trying to let us know there is a reason. God has his reasons right now. He's keeping us. He's keeping the church. He's keeping you and I. But it's not yet the time for Jesus to return. Amen. He's letting us know that he's going to return. He's going to keep us and hold us to that point. But he's letting us know it's in God's time. Verse 6, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the test of genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. What Peter's getting to, he's talking about the waiting game. Amen. We don't like the waiting game. Amen. We're like, God, I'm saved. Let's just, I know you have my room waiting for me in heaven. Let's just get the saints together. Let's have one good service and go on home. Amen. But what we need to know, and we're asking God, that's a good time to just ask God why. Why are we even still going through these things? If you know, why do I have to have trials and tribulations for you? Can't we just get the saints together? We believe in you. Let's go on home. Amen. But Peter is explaining this at the beginning. Remember, he said, and he pointed out that there are the elect. And he also pointed out that there is the foreknowledge of God. So what he's letting us know is that he already knows every saved saint that's coming after you and I. Amen. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the saints that are coming afterwards who will still make a choice for Jesus Christ. And God is saying that he can see, he has the foreknowledge of these generations to come. Amen. And that we just need to be faithful. We don't like waiting because in this body, we have weakness.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. In this body, we've got temptations. In this body, we deal with earthly and secular things. We don't like waiting. We're ready for the new body that we're going to receive in heaven. Amen. But he says, we got to wait. He said, I've got some that are elected that are coming after you. Amen. But he leaves us with this. He says, when we're faithful and obedient, even in this body, it's going to result more in praise and glory. Verse 8 and 9, to finish this up, he says, though you have not seen him, you love him.
Mm-hmm.
Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know. Have you ever turned around, whether in the spirit or just even in the natural, and you see something and you turn around and somebody else and say, did you see that? Because it had both. And when we're in faith, when we're in the spirit with God, sometimes there are things, there are glimpses that he shows us. And sometimes we just want to get together with another saint and say, did you see that? Because this thing is so real to us. We know what we know, and we see God moving even in the midst of our trials. Other folks don't know how we're standing. Other folks don't know how we're moving.
Yes.
They don't know how we haven't gone down back into the miry pit of clay. They don't know why have they still standing until they finally realize one day but God.
Amen.
Glory to his name. It's in these moments when we remember the Holy Spirit dwelling in us that we remember the encouragement of the Apostle Peter that it's not about the location or the day of the week. We remember that the same joy that we had on Sunday has not faded. It's not temporal. It's not affected by time. It's in our testimonies that we give every day. We remember and we believe God that he has secured our salvation, that he's keeping it for us. And we testify and we share our faith everywhere that we go. The joy that we have is inexpressible, filled with glory. It just comes out of us, and it's just coming. We just tell the people about Jesus everywhere that we go. It has not faded. We're as excited about God as we were on that very first day. If you know what I'm saying, somebody ought to give the Lord a praise. If you know what I'm saying, if you know your testimony, if you know what he did for you, if you know that what he started has not been embarrassed, it has not expired, and you can give the Lord a praise and lift up his name in this house. Glory to his name. With the breath that he's put in your lungs, you return it to him in glory. The doors of the church are open. Come on, the promises of God are yours today if you would believe. God said, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. He said it further. He did not send his son into this world to condemn us.
Amen.
But in order that the world might be saved through him. Will you accept Jesus today?
Jesus saved.
Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Glory.
Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to say hello to your pastor for us. And if you're looking for a church fellowship in Philadelphia, we'd love to see you this Sunday at 11 a.m. Open Door Baptist Church, 1632 North 26th Street, zip code 19121.
More information is online at opendoorbaptistphilly.com and Instagram at opendoorbaptistphilly. Until next week, stay encouraged and always remember, God loves you.